Wednesday night, we talked about the availability of wisdom, how wisdom is available to any and everyone who's willing to seek after it, especially a child of God, and that he talks about it, how wisdom crieth out. Not only is it available, it's something that is God is seeking to give us. We're going to go ahead and start in Proverbs chapter 13 and look at one verse, which is verse number 4, and then we're going to spend most of the time in Proverbs chapter 24. So Proverbs chapter 13 to begin with. This is a challenging book to be able to teach through. And because of that, we have decided, as the Lord leads, obviously, but had to do it in topical lessons. There's a lot of different things said about one specific topic. If you started off in verse number 1 and went all the way through, it may take 15 to 20 years to go through each and every single verse, but lots of times it's very repetitive also. So what we're going to do is going to take a topic. Tonight we're going to talk about the slothful man, or being a sluggard, and also being diligent. I'm going to look at that for a little while, and then, as I said, there's many topics in there that you can make multiple weeks about, but we're going to try to stay focused for the most part on one topic each week, and I think it'll take us probably all the way through the summer. And the reason why we chose this idea about being sluggard or being slothful or being diligent, and diligent might actually wait till another week, but it's because of the fact that the wisdom is available. You can have it. You must just seek after it. You have to search for it. You can't be lazy about it. And so when it says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4, when the Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So the Bible's saying there that the sluggard. Now, what does the word sluggard mean? The word sluggard means a person that is habitually lazy, that is idle, that's inactive. Another word you'll see us use tonight, the Bible uses, is the word slothful, which also means inactive, sluggish, and lazy. Diligent means to be steady in application. Also means have a constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So when the Bible's saying here that the soul of the sluggard desireth, it means that the person who is lazy, the person who is idle, the person who is inactive has desires. But it says that those desires will never be met because of the fact that they are a sluggard. And obviously tonight, as we look at this, we're going to look at it from the physical aspect, but I'm even more interested in the spiritual aspect. Look across the room, and I see people that most people would not describe as lazy or sluggard or slothful. Many people have worked many, many years, and many people are still working even and past the years of retirement, and they spend many, many hours. And I look at the generation that's sitting out there, and I know that they're characterized by much harder work than many of the people in my generation, or even the generation before me, or generation coming after me. So it's not the physical things I'm interested in as most, but also what I'm interested in is how do we apply this to our spiritual lives? Because it says the soul of the sluggard, and I think that word soul talks about our inner being, our heart, that the center of our life, that desire that they have nothing. And how often in our own lives do we talk about what we desire as a believer, what we desire as a Christian, and we talk about things, hey, I want to be a wise steward, I want to be a soul winner, or I want to be a prayer warrior, or I want to know more about the Word of God, or I want to be the right husband or the right wife, and you make that long list of things that spiritually we desire and that we long for, that we are seeking after. But the Bible says the soul of the sluggard, if we are a sluggard when it comes to even spiritual things, we're going to have the same problem. We're not going to have anything. It seems like many times as believers, we talk about it. I like to see revival. We sang that song, Revive Us Again. But there's also that song, do you really want revival? Do you really seek God's word? Because the wisdom is there. The wisdom's available. It's sitting right here in the book. But so often we don't take it and apply it. We might even have the knowledge of it. And you're going to remember some of these verses that we talked about before and that's been familiar to us before. But at the same time, it's a reminder, have we taken this and have we applied this to our heart? Because when the Bible says in verse number 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth, and I know if I look over my life and I consider the spiritual desires I have, I think about the things that I want to do and I want God to do through me.
and I want to be a better soul winner, and I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better husband and father and prayer warrior. I want to know more about the Word of God, and I want all these things, but a desire is one thing. But if we're truly ever going to meet that desire, it means that we need to be diligent. So as we're considering this topic, we chose this topic in the second week of the series is because the wisdom is here, it's available. Now, let's be diligent with it. So let's go and take our Bibles, and there's lots of places we could choose, but we're going to try to stay in one passage, but we're going to look at a lot of different verses that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Let's take our Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. In Proverbs chapter number 24, we see the story that's mentioned about this slothful individual or about this sluggard. And we see that in Proverbs 24, verse number 30 through 34, we see some descriptions that are given here. So I want you to look at this. And the title of tonight's message is, I saw and considered it well. Someone walks upon the field and sees the property of a slothful man. We can imagine that Solomon has written this and that Solomon is here. And as he writes this, he says, I went to this spot and I saw this. It says in verse number 30, I went by the field of the slothful. Once again, the slothful man is a person that's inactive and sluggish and that's lazy. He says, I went to the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. There's two different people, but it's the same type of individual. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight as we look at this. Dearly Father, Lord, as we approach your word once again, God, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, the book of Proverbs is filled with so much wisdom, so much things that help us understand how you feel about subjects. And Lord, how you look at things and how you want us to understand some different truths. And Lord, help us to desire not to be slothful. Help us not to be a sluggard. Lord, and not just in our physical lives, but Lord, in our spiritual lives too. Lord, help us to see it and help us to consider it well. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want you to see is the person. The person here, there's a description that's given in verse number 30. And the response that was given, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So the first person there, he says the field of slothful is talking about a person who was lazy. A person who does not want to work and a person that will not work. This person not only is lazy, but also it says down there that void of understanding. I don't know how many times you've ever dealt with someone that is lazy or someone that is a slothful or a sluggard, and that sometimes they come up with interesting ideas. I had the privilege of managing from the age of about towards right before I was 18 all the way down to about 30. And I had a lot of people that worked with me and a lot of people that worked under me. And I met people that were diligent, that were hard workers. And I've met some people all the way on the other side that is slothful and that are lazy. And you see here that he says there's two different reasoning here. It says it talks about the person being lazy, but also void of understanding. I want you to think about that for a second. The slothful person has some strange ideas. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with them, you can, or you can think about it. Think about what it says in Proverbs 26, 13. He says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. Now, you think about it. The person's there. They're in bed. They're supposed to get up and they're supposed to go work. But instead of getting up and getting out of bed, they come up with this excuse. I can't go to work because there may be a lion out in the streets. Now, we might think that sounds completely ridiculous, and it does sound completely ridiculous, but we don't have any lions in this area. And even in this Bible time area, as we saw, there's a few times that we saw lions and the stories. You think about Samson, you think about the lion who ate the prophet, all those different other things. But they were not something that was readily available. They was not normal. And for someone to make up an excuse that, hey, I can't go to work today because of the fact that I'm afraid that a lion might come and attack me, it is a ridiculous excuse. And that's what the Bible's saying, that if a person that is slothful and that are sluggards, that they're going to come to a point where they become void of understanding. They're not going to see things in a reasonable way. They're going to come up with some really interesting thoughts, and they're going to justify those thoughts, and they're going to justify that understanding because of the fact they care more about their laziness than they do about getting things done. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The sluggard will not by reason of cold, therefore the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." He shall beg and harvest and have nothing. Why is that? Because of the fact that he didn't get out and do what he was supposed to do when it was cold. It was inconvenient. It was not always easy. It was not always the most ideal circumstances. And if we sit there and we look for the most ideal circumstances, you know what's going to happen? We're never going to do anything. And as I mentioned before, this definitely applies to the physical realm. It applies to our work ethic and our work habits, and talks about those that don't work should not eat, all those other things. But let's apply this mostly to our spiritual life tonight. If we're sitting there and we're looking at it and we're saying, hey, as a slothful person, I can't get out and do the things because I'm afraid of what may happen to me. Now, we might not be afraid of going out in the streets today to be able to, because of a lion being there, but how many of us are afraid to go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? How many of us are concerned about taking a step of faith and doing things in things underneath God's timing and God's way, and believing that God can take care of us and God can wherever he puts us and things like that? Then you sit here and you say, well, the sluggard will not plow by reason of cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. It's the same thing about the desiring verse that we looked at, chapter 13, verse number 4. The sluggard desireth and have nothing. It's because of the fact that in our spiritual lives, if everything isn't set up just exactly right, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do anything. Where's the faith that's involved in that? The desire might be there. I want to be a sold out Christian. I want to be used by God. I want to do all these wonderful things for him. But no, maybe it's too cold or too hot. Maybe there's too much of a disadvantage here. Or maybe there's some opposition over here. And it's we can make up reasons and excuses why we should not serve and why we should not grow. But the Bible says that the individual in verse number 30, he had become slothful, and the vineyard was the man void of understanding. If we do not desire to learn and grow in our faith, remember, the wisdom is available. You know what's going to happen? We're going to become void of understanding. We're going to swallow some things that just make no sense to anyone else. We're going to sit there and think about things spiritually and say, well, we're going to hear people make up a reason or excuse why they can't read their Bible or why they can't pray. And you can sit there and say, well, that makes sense. And the reason why that makes sense is because many times we're not in our Bibles and we're not being a witness, or we're not praying, or we're not reading all those different things. So yeah, I understand that. I see that. Are you being diligent? Because the Bible says that the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It's not talking about physically being fat. It's talking about being blessed. It's talking about being increased in our spiritual lives. So not only do you see them, they're void of understanding. The Bible actually talks about how they are hard-headed too. How they are hard-headed. Ever met someone who's hard-headed? My wife would she probably wouldn't tell you guys I was hard-headed, but I will tell you that I am hard-headed at times. And it says in Proverbs 26:16, it's just one page over probably in your Bible, 26:16, it says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Think about what it says there. It says, "The sluggard is wiser." Now, who's the sluggard? The sluggard is the one who is lazy, who's inactive, who has allowed to go to the field, and we've seen how the field looks already, allowed these things to happen in their field, and there's people who can render a reason, and he believes he is smarter than seven men that can render a reason. Seven people that have knowledge and have skill and have wisdom, and it says, no, my reasoning, I can't go out because of the fact that there's a lion in the street. I can't go out because of the fact that it's too cold out there. I wonder what food did this gentleman eat or desire when they're begging. He's begging from someone who went out when it was cold. He's begging from someone who went out when it was inconvenient. He wants something from people that have worked, and we think about the government that seems like it rewards people that that want to be lazy. And don't get me wrong, I know there are some people that are in desperate need and they need some financial help. I understand that, but there is many who are lazy today, and our government seems to reward that and wants to take it from people who are actually working and trying to prosper and trying to do things and build the country up. But now they want to give it to others that just don't want to do anything. And it's something that's there that they become void of understanding. And not only do they become void of understanding, they're not willing to listen to reason. He's saying there, the sluggard are wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. I read that verse and I'm thinking, wow, I would think that if seven different people that can render a reason would have, I would listen to what they have to say. I'm not going to let anybody change my mind about what I believe God's told me, obviously. But at the same time, I'm going to be willing to listen to those that can render a reason, especially spiritually filled people. Next thing I want you to think about, you see the person, look at the property. Look at what the property looks like. Verse 31, and lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles. You go back to Genesis chapter number 3, that was one of the punishments or the curse that was placed upon the ground and had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. He did this man did not go. Look what it says in verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. So the man is coming and he's walking by. Doesn't say that he went out there to see it on purpose. But as he was walking by, he sees this vineyard. He sees this field. And he sees that it's overgrown with nettles and thorns. It's overgrown. It is not being used the way it could. The ground is good, but they haven't gotten rid of the weeds. You don't see him sitting there cursing the owner of the farm. You don't see him sitting there calling him names and other things like that. He passes by and sees a fruitfulness of the ground. Though the soil was good, there was nothing growing there but thorns and nettles. And they were overrun with weeds. It's not producing any fruit. And even if it does produce fruit, there's no wall there to help protect it. There's no wall because the wall is broken down. Matthew Henry put it this way. See the effects of that curse upon the ground. Thorn and thistle shall bring forth unto thee nothing else unless thou take pains with it. See what a blessing to the world the husbandman's calling is and what a wilderness this earth is. Even Canaan itself would be without. The king himself is served of the field, but he would be ill-served if God did not teach the husbandman direction and diligence to clear the ground, to plant it, to sow it, and to fence it. See what a great difference there is between some and others in their management, even of their worldly affairs, and how little some consult their reputation, not caring though they proclaim their slothfulness and the manifest effects of it. To all that pass by it, shamed by their neighbor's diligence. It's saying there, you look at the ground and you can see by the testimony of this individual that they were lazy and they didn't care. And sometimes I wonder what we see, and we see the pondering that's there, not just the property, we see the pondering. We see him looking at it in verse 32. He says, then I saw it and considered. He paused a little. Once again, he received instruction from it. He doesn't talk passionately about the owner. He doesn't call him bad names. What he does, he goes and he sees that. He looks at it. He endeavors at it. And he learns from it. He grows from it. And he says, I know something about this individual. I know something about this person. That even though that they have a ground that will produce, they choose not to use it. And they choose not to use it properly and to clear it and to build a wall around it. And you know what he learns? He says, I don't want to be like that. I don't want my life to be like that. I don't want my heart to be like that. And I think about it, that those that are to give instruction to others must also receive instruction themselves. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You must learn, and instruction may be received not only from what we read and from what we hear, but from what we see. Not only from what we see from the works of God and from what we see the manners of men, not only from men's good manners, but also from their evil manners. We learn how to do things from certain individuals. And then when we look at other people and we see their fields and we see how they take care of things, we learn how not to do things. We grow from that. There was a philosopher. You don't hear me quote philosophers lots of times, but this is something that I thought was interesting. A philosopher said, the wise men profit more by fools than fools by wise men. You would think it'd be the other way around. That wise men profit more by fools than fools by wise men. For if wise men will avoid the fault of fools, but fools will not imitate the virtues of a wise man. What he's saying there is that we can learn. You can learn by watching. You can learn by seeing. And that's what they're saying about this slothful man. He's gone. He is a man that is void of understanding. He has gotten to be so lazy that he's allowed his property, his field, to become so overdrawn, that overwhelmed, that it's no longer able to produce fruit. And even if it does produce fruit, the wall is broken down. The enemy is going to come in. The enemy is going to steal it, or the beast is going to steal it. So how do we apply that today? How do we apply that to our lives? You think about spiritually, we should be producing fruit, the Bible says. I believe that's twofold. I think we should be producing the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. We should be producing all those things. But we also should be bringing people to Jesus Christ. That is fruit. But many times, if we walk past the fields of our hearts, if we walk past the property of our heart, the property of our soul, remember, our soul desires something, and the people that are the lazy people that are sitting in the bed, the slothful people that are sleeping in the bed, they desire something. They desire to be fed. They desire a great bumper crop. But unless they are going to be diligent, they're not going to get it. But if we would walk past our own hearts tonight, how would our hearts look? If we could visualize our hearts the way that Solomon is visualizing this man's field, what would our hearts look like? What would our hearts' characteristics be? Our souls are our fields and vineyards, which are every one of us, to take care of, to dress and to keep. They're capable of being improved with good husbandry. That may be got out of them, which will be fruit abounding to our account. We are charged with them, to occupy them till our Lord come. And a great deal of care and pains, it is the prerequisite that we should take about them. These fields and vineyards are often in a very bad state. Not only are they not producing any fruit, but many times they're overgrown with thorns and nettles. There's scratching, there's stinging, there's inordinate lust, there's passions, there's pride, there's covetousness, there's sensuality, there's malice. There are all types of thorns and nettles. The wild grapes, which are unsanctified, our heart produces. There is no guard that keeps the enemy away, but the stone wall is broken down and all lies in common. All is exposed to the enemy. Where is it thus that it is our owing to our sinner's own slothfulness and folly? We are sometimes people who are sluggards. We love our sleep and we hate labor. He is void of understanding. He does not have an interest in understanding the will of God. He is not interested in his business. He's not interested in his interests. He's not interested in better himself. Instead, he is more focused on doing exactly what only he wants. And so to me, I see this and I see this picture, and I wonder if we walked past our vineyard, if we would consider our heart being the field, and we walk past it, would there be those thistles, and would there be those thorns, and would there be those nettles that are there that are overgrowing? Will we not see the fruit that is there and that is producing? Will we not see those things? And I want to encourage you tonight, don't be the slothful man. Don't be the sluggard man. Instead, be diligent and allow your heart to have that good, producing that good fruit. And then we see not only the pondering, you see the problem. Look what it says in verse 33. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. The slothful man spends too much time sleeping. If you go back to Proverbs 26, it says in verse number 14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. And I think that's an interesting thought there, because as the door is sitting there and you think about what does the door happen, people open and close the door. It gives the idea that as people are getting up and they're leaving, they're opening the door to go work, that the slothful man's there and he's sleeping. And what instead of getting up and going out and opening the door up, all he's doing is turning over. And sometimes, you know, he's there and you hear the one person going out to work and he just turns over. The next person opens up the door and shuts the door because they're up and they're doing things. They turn over and they turn over and they turn over. Instead of being out doing and being profitable. Then you see here the poverty of the man, the poverty. Look what it says in 24:34, chapter 24, verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. See, lazy people become poor. Poverty comes upon them as a thief who is armed, and the victim is unable to stop him. He said, well, what's the big deal about being a little slothful, being a sluggard? What the Bible is saying here is that the person is going to come, and that poverty is going to come upon you as one that your veil is talking about a thief, and thy want as an armed man. And you're not going to be able to stop him. You're not going to have the strength or power to stop him. Because the love of our sleep and the love of the laziness and the love of the being slugger and slothful, it means so much to us that we're not going to be able to reason with anybody. Even if it's seven men that could reason. Even if we're going to make the excuses up, hey, there's a lion in the street. Hey, it's too cold to work. Hey, it's too much of this or too much of that. And how much do we apply that to our spiritual lives? How many times we make excuses? I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. I can't do these other things. And they come to a spot that we guess because of the fact that we want to do certain things that we enjoy more than others that we choose not to. We just choose to make up the excuses that are there. The poverty that comes. How many of us are not strong in our Christian faith? How many of us are poverty stricken when it comes to our spiritual lives? How many of us are weak and anemic because of the fact that we become sluggards and slothful when it comes to spiritual things? How many of us are vibrant and strong in our Christian faith, and we see that it's become stronger and stronger? So here's a couple other characteristics of the sluggard. Go ahead and take your Bible to Proverbs 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. There is a lot in here about the sluggard and the slothful, but I think you're getting the point to what all these things are saying. There are people out there that are lazy. There are people out there that are slothfuls and sluggards. But at the same time, even though you might not be able to describe that physically, spiritually, I think some of us are bankrupt. I think some of us have not taken the strength that's needed to, in order to grow our Christian faith because of the fact that we become a sluggard. We're desiring, we want it. We hear church, we hear preaching. I don't want to be a slugger. I want to grow. I want to see our church grow. I want to see my family grow. I want all these things, but it takes work. It takes discipline. Look what it says in Proverbs 18:9. The Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So that's a characteristic that's there. It's a person that is slothful in his work is a person who will not appreciate what they have, and they will be a great waster. Look what it says in 19:24. It might be on the same page. It says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You think about it. He's saying he's hiding in his bosom that he won't even take the time and the energy to feed himself. Now, we picture there sitting at the table and just wanting someone to feed them. We picture that physically, but I think that's a picture that you can put in there. But it talks about those who are so slothful, they're expecting someone else to feed them. They're expecting for someone else to meet their needs. Why is that? It's because they love their sleep so much. They love their slumber so much. They love the fact that it's spiritual things. And it's how do we apply that spiritually? If we don't get in the Bible and we read the Word of God and we learn these things, are we opening up the Bible so we can feed ourselves? Are we expecting someone else to just give you the Word of God? And once again, that's what preachers and teachers do, but it's something we're supposed to be feasting on ourselves. We're supposed to learn of ourselves. We're supposed to grow of ourselves. Go ahead and take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look what it says in verse number 5. Proverbs 10 in verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. And I sit there and I see that, and I know that you don't see the word sluggard in there, or you don't see the word slothful, but it talks about a person that loves his sleep. And there is a time for sleep, and there is a time to make sure that we're working. And there is a time where it says it's going to bring a person to shame. It says, he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. And I love applying that to our own lives and spiritually. We think about what does the Bible talk about? What does Jesus say? Look up, lift up thine eyes. The the harvest. It's white in the harvest. The fields are white in the harvest. Talking about how many people were there that they could be witnessing. You could win people to Christ. But it seems as if people are sleeping instead of out being a witness. And I want to be better at that. I need to be better at that. But how do I get better at that? What I do is I take a walk by my heart. And as the title of the message is, I saw it and considered it well. I took time. When he says he considered it well, meant that he didn't just flash by it as a preacher was preaching or maybe a minute or two during an invitation. They took it and they looked at it and said, hey, let me look at my heart. Let me see, am I sleeping during the harvest? Am I supposed to be out there harvesting souls for Jesus Christ? Or am I more important sleeping spiritually instead of out there being busy? And the Bible talks about how that calls is a son that calls a shame. And yeah, I think you can apply that to the fact that are we being ashamed to our father when we're not being a witness? It says that in verse number 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, that there is a time to gather, and now is our time to go out. And he said, how do you know it's a good time to witness? It's always a good time to witness. It's always a good time to harvest. It's always a good time to tell people about Jesus Christ. And the reality of the point is, I've been shameful myself in the past about how much a witness I've been. I don't want to bring my father shame. And I think about it. Why is it that I'm not a witness? Why aren't I farther along in my faith? Why aren't I stronger in this and this? As you walk past your heart, once again, don't worry about anybody else's. Walk past your heart. What do you see there? Is it a field that has grown over with thorns and has produced some fruit, but they're wild fruits that have nothing to do with God? And you see the thorn and the thistles and the nettle. You see all those different sins that are in our heart that we struggle with. And it looks a mess. And the wall that's broken down, meaning the enemy could come in, talks about the devil, how the devil could come in at any moment, any time. There is no resistance there. There's no wall built up. There's no hedge, as we heard about on Sunday night. And there is nothing that's there because we allow everything to come down and we allow just whatever to happen because of the fact that we've been a sluggard, that we've been lazy. You say, Pastor, you're talking to a church that's here on a Wednesday night. I understand that. I know that. And I'm praying that everyone is here because of the right reasons. They want to grow closer to God and they love the Lord. And that's, you wouldn't mind hearing the message like this, even though we talk about being a sluggard and being lazy and using terminology like that, that might turn some people off and say, what's wrong with the preacher? I just know in our faith, many times we put everything else and we say everything else is so important. I'll work night and day and I'll spend how many hours just to spend time with my family? But then when it comes to spiritual things, we're sluggards. We're slothful. And we need to understand and need to see that. We need to walk past the fields. We need to walk past our heart, walk past our soul, and consider it well. We saw it, and let us consider, is it producing fruit like it should? So is there any hope for the sluggard? There is. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. I know what you're going to say. Hebrews chapter 11, that's not in the book of Proverbs. It is not. So Hebrews chapter number 11. But there is hope for the sluggard. Just as we learned about the first verse that we read earlier, the first verse when it talked about the soul of the sluggard desireth and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A person who's diligent will prosper. A person who's diligent will have a wall that's built. A person that is diligent will have the weeds cleared out. A person that is diligent will have the thorns taken away. A person that's diligent will have a field that is producing fruit, vineyards that is producing good fruit and good crops. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says for 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's the hope? If we're diligent, God has said we will be made fat in Proverbs. God is saying here that he will reward them that diligently seek him. But how do we do that? We do it by faith. We get up and you say, well, I don't see what difference it makes. The guy that's the sluggard might say, well, if I get up and work, the land might not produce. I might get too cold, or I might get eaten by the lion. I might this, and come up with the excuses. And they're so hard-headed that it would not matter. Even the seven men that could reason and render an answer or render an understanding, it doesn't matter. They're stuck and they're not going to change. I'm not going to go take care of that field. I don't take care of it, but they're going to beg in time of harvest. But a person that will search after God, seek him diligently, the Bible says that he will reward them. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Go to verse number 5. A few weeks ago, Brother Cobb was preaching in Sunday school, and I enjoyed his message. But there's a correlation there, verse 5 and verse 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And then so that's great. He did it. But what pleases God? We say, well, he walked with God. So what does it mean to please God? In verse number 6, they're not always put together, but it's written right there. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if we truly want to diligently seek after him, if we don't want to be someone who is being lethargic and slothful and sluggard when it comes to the things of God, we must diligently seek him. We must believe by faith that God will speak with us, that God will speak to our hearts, that God can use us, and that God will. Many times we have stopped serving, we stopped reading, we stopped praying, we stopped witnessing, we become lethargic and lazy is because of the sin of unbelief. We don't believe by faith that God will use us. So he might use somebody else. He might use the next generation. He might use somebody, a teacher, or a preacher, or a deacon. But God, we must learn that God is able to use all of us. He desires to use all of us. And when it comes to this, don't let your sin of unbelief lay you to sleep and saying, I'm just going to stay in bed because I don't see what difference it's going to make because there's this problem and this problem. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Enoch, he pleased God. And how do you please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that means he had faith to do it. So as we consider tonight, the message. It says, as Solomon, or the writer of Proverbs, says, I saw and considered well. I walked past that person's field. I learned something about them. He says, it's not right to judge. I get what you're saying, but this is Solomon talking about the sluggard man. And there is some, the Bible talks about trying the spirits. The Bible does talk about learning and observing. And so he walks past that field and he says, I know something about this guy without ever even talking to him. He said that he was slothful and that he was void of understanding and that he loved sleep. He knew that, all that from that field. I wonder as we walk past our hearts tonight, what is God going to reveal to us? Now, as we walk past our own homes, we might have beautiful lawns and everything looks perfect and everything looks great. And you can see that someone really cares about the outside things and really cares about the walls look wonderful and the flowers look great and the grass looks perfect. It's all perfectly green. And it's, you know, sometimes people plant those seeds and they have a different type of grass. I think that's nice. And that's wonderful. They have everything looking great and looking right. But if you walk past a person's heart. And I know we can't, but we can see the outside results of it, though. We can see what's inside. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mark chapter number 8, it talks about what's in our heart comes out. So we see those things. So don't be slothful. Don't be sluggard when it comes to spiritual things, especially. My encouragement to you tonight is walk past that heart. Look at your own life. And see if we got some thorns that need to be removed, some weeds that need to be gotten out of there, what type of fruit that we're producing. Because the Bible's saying that the sluggard and the man that's void of understanding or the slothful man, he's struggling. But there is hope. You don't have to stay that way. You can have help if we learn to be diligent. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know this is simple in the book of Proverbs. We've heard about the sluggard before. We've heard about the slothful man before. We've heard even it applied to our spiritual lives. And if you've been in church long enough, you're going to hear similar topics preached over the years. But Lord, this is something that we should take heart to. that the wisdom is available. It's found right in the book of Proverbs, like we learned about last week. It's available to us. James 1:5 talks about if we lack wisdom, we should ask it of God, and that the wisdom is there. It's crying out. It's available to us. Help us not to be sluggards when it comes to wisdom. Help us to be interested in studying and knowing and understanding the Word of God, so that we can learn of you. Help us not to be sluggards and slothful and be void of understanding. Help us not to be hard-headed when it comes to understanding the truths. Help us not make up excuses about lions being in the street or about it being cold or about whatever spiritual excuses we might make why we cannot serve you. Lord, help us to see these results. Help us to see what the Bible says. This is what's going to happen to a sluggard. This is what's going to happen to a slothful. There's going to come a point where they're not even willing to pick up their own hand and put it to their own mouth to feed themselves. It's going to come to a point that they're going to make up ridiculous excuses of why they can't serve and why they can't grow. And Lord, that's what you say, the sluggards, what's going to happen in the sluggard's life. And Lord, I pray that we would not be sluggards when it comes to spiritual things. But instead, Lord, we would be a people that would diligently seek after you with faith, Lord, seeking that you would reward. Lord, not reward in the fact that we need more physical things, but reward in the fact that you bless us, Lord, spiritually, the fruits of the Spirit, and that we see fruit abound to our account, that we would see husbands and wives and families grow strong, that we would see people called into ministries and those churches grow, and we would see people be spirit-filled and families being helped and our country being helped. Lord, help us not to be sluggards. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our